do 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 do.
Not bad. 6 out of 10.
Yeah. 4.
Yeah. Good enough for this podcast.
Hey guys, Pete here.
And Brian.
And Neil.
And we are three dads back to watching films from our youth that we remember differently than we might think.
These are films that deserve a second chance, and don't we all?
Third, fourth.
Yeah. Gone. The list is long.
We live and die by that.
Oh my gosh. So, you know the deal. We are asking three questions of whether or not the movie holds up, but right now we're doing a little twist on it because last week we did DC Cab, and that was a movie I thought was terrible as a kid because looking at it as a 10-year-old, you wouldn't understand most of it.
Yeah, it was way over most of your head.
And Gary Busey's just weird.
Yes.
And now we get to ask whether or not it holds up for a new movie for Neil, and then we're going to see whether or not we actually like
right.
It.
So this was the theme for this mystery batch is a movie from your childhood that you didn't like, but you think you'll enjoy as an adult.
Perhaps.
And DC Cab was a great start. So Neil, you've got a
We got a 4 stars from Dave last week on that. Yeah. I'm still even kind of Dave. In shock. Even Irish Dave.
Yeah. It's one of our highest rated movies, I would say.
I would say
as
so.
As a group.
And I'm sure all our fans are in agreement.
That is, honestly, I'd be very interested to see what anyone has to say about, because that movie was truly lost to the garbage heap of history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not even on my radar.
Like, even Irene Cara wrote a song for it. It was like at the height of her fame. Anyways, we're also going to find out whether this movie of Neil's should be rebooted, sequeled.
Rejected.
Yeah. Course, and then should we have our kids watch it? That's question right. Number three. So,
yeah.
Neil, you have brought me. I have to go over.
Oh, yeah.
Some,
this might be the hard part for our listeners because we couldn't find it anywhere on the interweb. So, Neil had to bring a tiny little thumb drive.
A USB thumb drive that is literally it's a thumbnail drive, really.
I could swallow
it's
that.
It's the smallest one I could find.
Because he really wanted to feel like he was a drug dealer or that drug dealer from The Matrix. The White Rabbit.
We're watching my dime bag of movie tonight.
What a title.
And I'm curious to know if you guys have seen it. I'm not sure if you would have.
If it comes on
the flash drive.
You can only find it on a flash drive.
All your finest truck stops
Russian
in Iowa.
I am so curious.
All right, what lay it on us.
All right, this is a movie from 1990.
Oh, okay. That's right in my wheelhouse.
Okay. 15.
God, yeah. If it's Mac and Me, I'm going to be upset.
Oh, please.
It's not Mac and Me. It is made by a director, writer, and he has two first names.
Steve?
His name is, yes.
Bob.
It is a movie called Hardware.
Ooh.
Nope.
Nothing.
Who's in it?
It is made by Richard Stanley, and it is directorial debut.
Okay.
Feature film directorial debut. The special effects are done by...
This is what happens when, you know, you invite someone who was like a videography major in college. I found this art movie from the late 60s.
And it's called Hardwire?
Hardware.
Okay, Hardware.
Yeah. And the special effects are done by Chris Cunningham, if that name rings a bell.
No, it does not.
He was 19 years old when he did this.
Wunderkind.
He has made a lot of music videos you've probably seen. He did Window Licker.
Oh!
No.
Nope.
Nothing?
Nope.
Window Licker? Is that a song or the name of the
was
video?
That
he did Bjork's All Is Love, which is usually one of the top music videos of all time.
I know that one.
Yeah. He was picked by Stanley Kubrick to consult on AI. He did a lot of work on Judge Dredd.
Cool.
He's really known for mechanical contraptions and a little bit of body horror thrown in. And he's kind of like this prodigy guy. And this was his big break doing that kind of stuff.
Hardware. So, is it by any chance about, like, assassin robots?
There is a robot in it.
Okay.
I
remember a movie called Cyborg. Wasn't that a young Jean-Claude Van Damme movie?
This is not at all like Cyborg, but it, like I said, it has a robot.
It has a robot. Well, okay. I mean, so part of me feels like it sounds familiar, but I'm getting nothing. And you have named quite a laundry list of achievements.
You're so happy. You're so happy right now.
You thought this movie was not good?
So what happened was this movie kind of started making the rounds when I was in junior high and then even high school, and it was extremely polarizing. This was when people would pass a tape around. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those things where, like, you gotta watch this. Yeah, exactly. And then half the people died and half didn't. No, it was like, it was one of the most polarizing movies I can remember going around, not just my peer group, but like my whole age group in town.
Interesting. So everyone passed around. And
was it filmed in your town?
It was not. Okay. This is a real movie, you guys. So Richard Stanley, kind of has an interesting career. I swear, guys, just because it's in a dime bag and it's in this tiny little hard drive. So Richard Stanley kind of has an interesting career. He made this, and he got a lot of momentum off of it. And he was the guy that started making The Island of Dr. Moreau with Marlon Brando and Val Kilmer.
I mean, and that was a movie that was made and put out in theaters.
And he didn't get along with Val Kilmer at all, and he got booted from that movie, and John Frankenheimer then came in and basically made the whole thing.
Yes, because Val Kilmer was the problem with that movie.
And then basically he was like a shining star, and then it just torpedoed his entire career. And he really didn't do much of anything for a couple of decades, and then he recently came back with a Nicolas Cage movie based on an H.P. Lovecraft story.
Bees.
It's called Color Out of Space.
Okay.
I feel like I'm talking to myself.
I mean, I know you're waiting for us to go,
at least when I...
You guys have seen a lot of movies.
I know, when I brought up DC Cab, all I had to say was, Mr. T and Gary Busey, and you guys were like, great, let's go. So, I'm just getting more confused.
So you know
confused.
That scene in Pulp Fiction when the guy brings out the hand cannon and just starts like shooting at like 3 feet away?
Hitting nothing but wall here.
And hitting nothing but wall. I feel like that's it. We watch tons of movies and somehow every one of your shots has completely missed us.
I bet though.
I've heard of Island of Dr. Moreau.
A wild ride.
I mean,
and honestly, I may watch this and be like, oh yeah, I definitely went to go see this. Because right around 1990 was when I was at like my peak movie watching years. Like that was in.
I was thinking one of you guys. There was a decent chance one of you.
Is anyone of note in it?
Like, and we haven't heard anything about a plot other than there is a robot in it.
I don't think he wants to like give it away.
Right. So we may just have like we may come back from this and be like, oh yeah, I did see this.
I hope that we have an interesting conversation after it's done. And I also hope that we're able to watch it.
That's what's happening. All right, Neil is setting us up.
Can we just
put
this
film.
Into the USB port on the Xbox?
You should be able to. Yeah.
Let's do that.
Well, while Pete tries to figure out how to hack the Gibson, I guess we will sign off. Go get ourselves some whiskey and some ice cream.
Some drumsticks tonight.
Yeah, I know. We're doing it a little differently. We're getting some drumsticks. We're having a treat. And then we'll be back as soon as the outro brings us back into the
intro. You're uploading the virus! Oh my god!
Just me doing a fruit basket for an hour and a half.
I hope
am I getting
quince.
Rickrolled right now?
Maybe some
god damn
quince.
It, Neil!
One chill black man sitting on a couch.
It's just a light switch, Brian.
It's up. And we're back. I feel like we just saw a Terminator.
And we're back. Or, hold on, this would be like, I'll be back. A Kmart version.
Beep, boop.
This is like
I am a robot.
The dollar store Terminator.
I have feelings. Don't know what they are.
This was if Shades tried to remember what the Terminator was.
Yeah, this is this movie was the character Shades tripping, watched Terminator, and then was trying to explain to someone the next day what
he remembers.
I think
it's an episode of Jacob's Ladder.
Oh.
So, welcome back, movie film noir fans. I have so many questions about this movie.
It is a Christmas movie. That's the answer.
It does take place at Christmas time.
It does. And, you know, you can just sign up to get sterilized and walk away from procreation, everyone, in this wonderful utopic vision of the future coming sure. out of the zone.
Sure. Anytime you have to refer to the future as a zone, you know it's post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a time zone.
Now, I will say that for what they had in the very first, like in the setup phase of the movie, I was enjoying it immensely. Right up until the point where we got to Jill's apartment, I think. Mm-hmm. Is about when I started enjoying it last.
We walked in Jill's apartment.
Yeah.
This broken is where we used to live. Broken parts, broken robots.
The song writes itself.
Uh-huh.
Broken to Jill's apartment.
Yeah. Well, let's start with a two-sentence synopsis, and then we'll really dive deep.
I'll go first tonight, gentlemen. I'll give you guys some time to think.
I mean, to be honest, our two-sentence synopsis is probably going to contain more dialogue than most of the movie.
At least understandable dialogue.
Fair.
In a world that is the future, where stuff is not good and people don't like anything and it all sucks, comes a tale of Jill, who inadvertently recreates a super cyborg robot killing machine from the government that its only mission is to sterilize humanity but also be loved. There's also a creepy rapey guy across the street out of Alfred Hitchcock's rear window, and stuff doesn't make sense. I'm losing my train of thought, just like this movie did.
Accurate. That was actually a really spot on synopsis.
It starts off with like so much drive of like, this is where we're going with this, and then it completely just stalled out and spun its wheels for like, I think at one point we said, it's only half over.
Yeah, and it's not a long movie.
I think I've cracked this open.
Oh, please enlighten us.
All right.
In a world, Brian.
So this is Hardware. A homage to Gremlins when Moses brings home robot parts to his artsy girlfriend, only to find out that the robot is a killer military prototype that can self-repair. The robot goes on a killing rampage, and through derpy events,
shenanigans,
most of the characters die in a really bad, trippy way for poor Shades.
Poor Shades.
Yeah, Shades just wanted to chill out and meditate.
Worst day ever.
But this is Gremlins. This movie is Gremlins.
Except, oh yeah. Don't get them wet.
I found this weird thing. I thought it'd make for a good gift. I don't know anything about it. Anyways,
Oh my God, I didn't even like put two and two together.
And now the gift has gone rampage and there's lots of murder and mayhem galore.
And that was made in, what,
84,
I
something
think.
Like that. Already it had better effects.
Better practical effects than this. But you got to, this was a shoestring budget.
Yeah, I can respect that. But I think the hard part I had for this was just,
it was the dialogue for me.
Right, but
lack thereof. Neil, I don't want to, yeah, don't want to take any wind out of your sails, because this was your polarizing movie of your
youth. And it still is, I would say.
Really? Okay.
Well, if the nihilists from Big Lebowski had won the war, and in that post-apocalyptic future where a good Christmas present from your girlfriend is a murdering robot head, it turns out you probably shouldn't leave your super high unreliable friend Shades in charge of keeping her safe,
or even opening the door.
Or getting anything done, really. Just leave him in his underwear in his own house.
Honestly, he only signed up for DoorDash to pick up chicks.
Yeah, because when he's in charge, the movie sort of just devolves into a long very stylistic music video with very little music.
Yeah, like even The Crow was a better music video than this musical video. Maybe this needs to be a musical.
Well, it felt like there was a. It felt like we were watching a music video without any music. There were lots of very long pauses. There was lots of these artistic shots that held on for just a little too long.
Yes.
Yeah.
This movie, I felt like Stevie Ray Vaughan was going to be leaning against a brick wall somewhere, ripping into a guitar solo in a moment's notice.
That would have been cool if he did.
Or Faith No More popped in.
It would have fit in.
It's it.
Yeah.
They could have thrown any of that in, and we would have been like, all right.
Oh, wow, I'm in a live video.
Yeah, I mean, it hit very operatic levels of drama, or it aspired to, anyway.
It definitely, this movie was aspirational.
It was.
It aspirated a lot.
Oh, I see what you did there. Because yeah. That's also very true. And the amount of spatter.
Yep. Nice.
The gore effects actually were really good, I would say.
Yeah.
When the super got cut in half.
The gorier, the better.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And I do like the aesthetics are really cool. Like, right off the bat, I liked the post-apocalyptic costumes. I liked the tone. You know, I thought the nomad who finds the robot initially was a really cool character, kind of, you know, comes out of nowhere, brings in, like, the goods, and then just disappears back out into the wilderness.
Well, I'll say this for question two, but remind me in question two where I want to reboot this.
So the other thing that this movie really reminded me of is a Richard Bachman. Richard Matheson, the guy who did I Am Legend.
Hmm.
He wrote a short story that was made into part of a Trilogy of Terror movie. It was called He Who Waits, about a woman who gets a Zuni fetish doll from an archaeological dig or find in her apartment, and she breaks the seal on it, and it causes the Zuni fetish doll to come alive and start hunting her because it has the spirit of an angry warrior whose sole purpose is just to hunt and kill. And so this little doll is tracking her throughout the whole apartment and terrorizing her.
Was it named Chucky?
It was not. This was actually, it was written before Child's Play, I think. But this was, and that was the whole thing, was like, it's this tiny little angry doll that, you know, murders people. I had that same vibe about being trapped in an apartment with, you know, something lurking and hunting you as, she, you know, as the main character.
And I guess it makes sense that, like, you know, we're all sitting here going, why don't you just leave the apartment? And you're just like, wait, everything they're saying is the world sucks. Everything is shit. Like, the world is over. Like, the apocalypse has happened and we all lost.
Yeah.
And, like, we live in the zone or whatever it is now.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you're saying, it's not an original premise, but it's got kind of a neat little twist on it. And I think, unfortunately, they just didn't have enough budget to leave the apartment when they probably should have.
Well, but it wasn't even leaving the apartment. Like, it's fine that they kept the set piece there. Like, it's just,
I don't know if that's fine. It spent 40 minutes there, man.
Right, well, it spent, like, 30 minutes just getting, like, I had no, like, we have no idea what the movie's about. Like, all, it's just these sort of random, like, we're watching guys, we're hearing some side talk, and there's, like, a little bit of a radio and some references, but we're never really told what's going on.
Well, I've seen that, you know, people have tried to solve that storytelling issue with, you know, either the long scroll at the beginning or, you know, the exposition dump of, like, some girl going back before the skies fell. And, you know, they were trying to take a little bit of a different tact, I guess.
No, except by just not telling us anything.
Like, yeah.
We learn.
It's a tact.
We don't learn about him being in the core until, like, she mentions it. But what is the core? Is he seems like he's military, but he's out scavenging. And then, you know, there's this military robot that they allude to, like, it's supposed to be some sort of prototype, but why was it in the desert? Like, there's just all these questions. And granted, like, you don't have to answer them all, but you gotta give us something. Like, I found that I had no idea what was going on until I'm like, oh, I guess the robot's coming to life now, and the movie begins. But yes, that's after, like, 30 minutes of just,
and then it's just one interaction of a self-repairing robot that is fighting a bunch of schmoes in an apartment building. Like, I'm sure it almost feels like this robot has done this 100 times before and rebuilt itself and, like, kicked the shit out of something, gets destroyed,
And then, oh, it's like Jason?
No, it's like the Iron Giant. Just kind of like pulls all of its parts back together and just rebuilds itself. And next thing you know, it's going to go get Hogarth in northern Maine and rebuild itself again. Friend. The whole time it's just like looking for a friend.
Yeah, yeah. I think you touched on it earlier. There really wasn't very much character development. They all kind of just were who they were the whole time.
So does this hold up for you, Neil? There's our answer.
I think this is one of those movies where the good parts are good, but unfortunately the bad parts have aged poorly, and they're kind of like outweighing the good parts at this point.
The good parts are too few and far between.
Well, I gotta, like, for instance, you know, there were some things that had an effect on me. The biggest being the creepy pervert peeping on the character Jill while she's having her sex scene or just hanging in her apartment. Like, and he is, you know, jerking off while we get close up of his like wet herpes ridden mouth.
Isn't his last name Weinstein?
Yes, it's Link Weinstein. Lincoln
Weinberg?
Weinstein.
Weinberg?
Something like that. And we are forced to like listen to him like use all these like dirty words, like he's dirty talking to her while he's jerking off. And we get to watch that.
Him licking his
like he and yeah.
His cold sword lips.
Right. Like he is super dripping. Gross and it is a gross, uncomfortable scene, and I get it. Like they were successful in that, but that was where they were successful in this movie. It was making me feel uncomfortable.
Twice.
And we got a lot of him.
Yeah, we got a lot of him.
And part of
it
was
like...
Didn't
he lick Jill's nose for no reason? And she didn't seem too fazed by it.
There were, like... Well, to be fair, like, she there were some weird reactions. Like, she has a killer robot in her apartment, and she's just like, there's a killer robot in my apartment.
And my boyfriend just went out for cigarettes. He's coming back very soon. So you should leave.
Right. Well, but we can't get through this door because the door won't work. But you somehow... Anyways... There's just, like, I think that's where, like, they made choices in what they decided to keep. Like, again, the sex scene. We had a long sex scene. Very classic for the 90s. Very gratuitous. But I'm like, we could cut that out and use that to, like,
I really thought that they were going to do the soft cut and keep their PG rating by going to, like, they start hugging and you see shades getting onto the elevator in the background and they're zooming into the robot head.
Yeah,
like he gave her.
Well, you know, and you could argue that. Like, I thought they were gonna do it. Like, first off, it was a really weird cut because
it's a metaphor.
They embrace and then they're just hugging. Like it's and you see and you're right. Shades leaves, which is fine. You're like, oh, my buddy's, you know, with his wife, you know, or girlfriend, or whoever. I'm gonna slink off. Like, all right, you two. But they're just hugging. There's no like, you know, passion. It's just like. They're having a
long
time.
Well, it's been a number of years since they've met.
Yeah, and or something. Like, it's been a while because he's been, I don't know, on patrol. It's just everything was weird. Everything was too long. Everything was, why are they making this choice when you could have done this or this? Ugh. I don't know.
I would say that this has not aged well for my question one. It just, period. It, as you said, there are, it is aspirational and where it is successfully aspirational, and you can put aside the fact that the budget was too low and the actors were not really giving 100%.
Well, I don't think they had, there was no script.
There's not much to work with. The dialogue was pretty pedestrian at best. And
she says hi to Shades. She's like, he's like, hey, how are you? Good. How are you? Good.
How have you been?
Good.
Good. Okay.
Are you going to let me in or not?
Yeah. Come in.
I guess so.
Good to see
you. Hey, you're back. I brought you something.
Here's a head.
Like, I do art piece. Like, I make art with robot parts.
Yeah, that was odd, too. And then, of course, we have lactoplasm in our merch store next week.
Yeah.
It's lactoplasm. Like,
I guess we're only able to experience this as adults. Like, how did you feel compared, like, with... When you saw this when you were younger, is this about the same, or do you remember liking it more as a kid?
I think we probably liked it more as a kid. I think some of the 90s stuff was cooler back then, and like you say, it hasn't aged particularly well. I think there was also just that probably we were young enough, we felt like we should have liked it. And there, we people may have been faking it a little bit.
It's got a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a lot of style.
I will say at the very, you know, in the opening apocalyptic sequences, and you're like, oh, for 1990, they pegged the future pretty darn good. When you're like, oh, it's 110 out there in the city today. I'm like, well, that actually is pretty common through the South now in the summer times. And, you know, it's like, yeah, this was just before the Berlin Wall fell. This is at the end of, like, the what could have been nuclear apocalypse and a couple years after Chernobyl. And, like, I think what they were saying could happen in the future is, in many regards. Like, when they're talking about, you know, environments collapsing, it's very prescient today. It just feels like it's very,
but that was all
on topic
background static. Like, we got that through, like, a character would walk,
be, well, like I said, that was my favorite part of the movie.
You know, yeah, a radio would be playing in the background, or like that was all.
Well, this leads me into question two on rebooting, and I said this during the movie, and I'm going to take control here, and I want to talk about rebooting this as a Arcane-esque steampunk animated. I think it would play, and you could get voice actors of whoever you want to play any of the characters, because I think it would play out pretty well, and you could actually dig into better dialogue and better music. And
I gotta be honest, yeah. I have nothing I want from this movie. I don't want to see this. Like, I think that's cool. Like, I like the aesthetic. Like, sure, you could animate it, but I don't need to see a anime-style overweight guy licking his cold sores, you know, dirty talking. I don't need to see that
so
again.
You cut that to really short, and this is just like, this whole movie is condensed down to a 45-minute episode of something, and they don't spend 40 minutes in the hotel. Like, it opens up a bigger world.
But then that's not like, then all you're doing is just making a better movie. Like, that's a different movie.
That's kind of the hope, right?
This movie is, I would, scavengers find a robot that goes, that rebuilds itself in a girl's apartment and rampages and murders people, and the movie ends. Like, that's it. Like, mm-hmm. There's, like, if you say, like, if you're going to be like, oh, well, no, we're going to take it out into the world, or, well, now you're just making a different movie, which is fine. But there's nothing here. Like, I just don't see anything to salvage to make a feasible movie that doesn't alter it.
Wait a minute. You gave us a thumb drive. Is that part of the machine? Is it starting to take over and rebuild itself through my TV?
I'm sorry, Pete. This is how it starts.
Just to Rickroll us, right? Well, you have the most elaborate Rickroll of all time.
I've waited 32 years for this moment.
If you've had hypodermic needles, some chainsaws,
that was so weird. The vampire hypodermic needles are like 18 inches long.
She just had those in her apartment, I guess, which brings up a lot of questions about what she was doing with her art. But yeah, like I like the style, but I feel like we have seen this in Alita: Battle Angel. We've seen this in Mad Max. We've seen, like, the post-apocalyptic look is a well-established genre. And it even is. In anime. And that's cool, but I just don't think there's anything here that we can pull out that isn't already represented. And I think if we were to expand it, we're already changing the movie to where it's, you know, more like inspired by and not a reboot.
Okay.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Are you showing this to your kids? No, I'm just kidding. What were you going to say, Neil?
I was going to say it had a neat kernel of an idea, and the longer it went on, I think the more they sort of ran out of steam.
Well, they needed enough steam at the end to kill it, though.
Yeah.
Because that's the only...
Well, it was designed to be in the desert.
What kills you? Moisture!
And the thing is,
look, it's Signs.
It said that. Oh, yeah. Oh, totally Signs. And even they said that, and they're like, oh, you know, susceptible to moisture and humidity. And you're like, well, she's got the only shower in like an 8-block radius, so. Phew.
That's convenient.
Oh, they even stole with the in Terminator. Like, you know, they think it's dead. Like, it got blown up. Like, she did it. Like, it's destroyed. And then it's behind her on fire with its arms doing the woo-woo-woo-woo. Like, what's his name? Falling from...
This was Short Robocop. Circuit 3.
It could have been.
Johnny Five is alive. If actually, it could have been.
But Short Circuit 2, you know, like had Johnny Five being a good guy, it would have to be one of the other, like, evil robots.
Oh, the evil robot Ussesses?
Evil robot Ussesses.
Hardest thing to say in the movies.
Dual rear wheel.
My children will never see this movie, guys.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm sorry.
I'll just probably show them Terminator.
I was hopeful, Neil. I'm sorry, buddy.
I am glad that I rewatched it because I was curious to know, like maybe we were wrong, maybe we were right. I was kind of curious to see.
This is the reason we do this podcast, is for this kind of movie. Yes. It was definitely like you brought it back up, like you hauled it up. We had never seen it, never heard of it.
Took it out of the dungeon, and now you know why it was there.
You know, and not all of them can be DC Cab. Most of the time.
DC Cab was wrongly imprisoned.
I don't know how.
We have to watch Gung Ho now. I want to see how far off I was on that.
Gung Ho. I liked Gung Ho. I saw that when I was in high school. Like, it was playing on TV. I remember sitting like, oh, this is pretty good. But,
well, it's got Michael Keaton, so yeah.
You know, and again, you were saying, you know, they spent a lot of the budget to get Dylan McDermott. And I don't know what he brought to the table.
Was he underutilized or overutilized?
Nobody was utilized. We even had Burglecut from Willow playing like the scrap tech guru. And yeah, like
and I thought he was going to play a bigger role in this. Like that, there would have been like a whole like spy intrigue type thing that he was getting chased. You could have had like a whole scene of him getting like, I can't talk now, I've uncovered some really stuff. And, you know,
like Cloak and Dagger?
Yeah. And then he gets killed by the Hand right afterwards or something.
Now, they talk about, like, you think it's the Hand, but we don't really know what killed Burglecut because he...
No, he had those injection things in him.
I guess, but that Hand didn't...
I think it's programmed to recreate itself, so it, like, kills people through injection. I don't know.
It's a very weird kill bot, especially when, you know, guns are a thing.
Apparently guns have no impact on it, only bats.
Yes, but why wouldn't it have guns? That's be like, all right, guys, in the future, we're going to have a robot that kills with chainsaw, hypodermic needles. What about a gun? No, too easy.
No, make it sportsmanlike.
Yeah, let's make things fair in war. So,
We tried. Next week is Brian's turn.
Yeah, and I'll be taking us in a different direction.
Can I ask, is it a horror movie?
It's not.
Oh, thank God.
It's not. But I will say, like, we are definitely picking, like, some, like, out, like, there's no relation, there's no juxtaposition. It's going to be an interesting ride.
I'm excited. A little worried.
I like not knowing each other. It's fun seeing what gets picked.
Although I do want to get back to our list at some point because that list keeps getting longer.
Absolutely. Yeah. It'll be interesting. But this has been a lot of fun. And this
Thanks, Neil. That was
a good one. It was something I've never seen.
Yep, I'm glad I experienced this, sort of.
That's actually what I'm happiest about. I picked something that neither of you had seen, which is not very easy to do.
Well, yeah.
I will say, you say that the best part of that movie is when the nomad is walking in the halls and like he just like saunters in and it's just the pinkish light reflected in his eyes as he's talking. So it looks like he's got like these glowing eyes. Like he was a really cool character.
Almost like a machine robot.
Well, kind of. Like they said, and they mentioned something, they're saying like that he's a long hauler, like he's been affected by the radiation or something. Like he's... Basically, he was Boba Fett. We had a cool Boba Fett character where we don't know much about him. He looked super cool.
Yep. Mandalorian.
Had a great aesthetic.
Yep. Mandalorian. The desert.
Yeah.
Well, guys, send us an email. dadsmovienet@gmail.com. Check us out on Facebook. Share the podcast. You know, all of the good stuff. Blah, 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 blah.
If you're listening to this, you're probably halfway through.
Well, we are 162 episodes in.
Yeah.
So we've been at this long enough now to... not learn anything. See you guys next week. Do, 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 do. Yeah, like really, there's nothing to add.